Now, we concluded our reading of Matthew 9 with the Lord's challenge to his disciples. First, by his example of compassion. Second, to challenge them to consider that the Lord would send out laborers, a sense of commission. And then, of course, finally, there must be the response of commitment from all who would be laborers for the Lord. Now, in Matthew chapter 10, which is an important follow-up chapter, we see the Lord actually sending out disciples. And this is an important thing for us to take note of. Chapter 10 is a rather complex chapter. So we need to take it very, very carefully, step by step, and then we'll see how this works out. Right? First, 1 to 7, Matthew 10. So there would be very, very specific things to take note of. One, there were the multitudes. Then there were other disciples. And then there were special disciples. Of course, referring to the 12. Now, the word discipleship may be referred to as the learning stage. The idea behind the word disciple is simply one who learns. Now, there were other disciples outside the 12, but the focus in chapter 10 here is actually a word that concerns particularly the 12. So there are certain things which are peculiar only to the 12. There are certain things which, in time to come, will apply to other people as well. So we need to differentiate all these things when we come across the text. But the 12 here were specially called and chosen and named. And so we have from verses 2, 3, 4, we have all the 12. They were called now apostles. The word apostles is the idea of being commissioned, right? So again, here, there was a word we learned in last week's lesson about a sense of commission. And the word apostles best expresses the idea of commission, of being commissioned. Well, this is important for us to take note of. Now, the calling of the 12 was variously recorded in the Gospels, right? So there were four fishermen who were called. Then there was Matthew that was called. But we don't have very specific reference to all the other disciples who were then called to join the band of 12. But they were essentially, they became a group of 12 people. So sometimes the gospel writers would refer to them as the 12 or his 12 disciples, referring to this group of them. Right? This is all. So in chapter 10, verse 5, they are called these 12 or translated the 12. So that became a nomenclature for them. This is the way they were called. Now, this is important because particularly in chapter 10 here, the command of the Lord Jesus to send them out was sort of given in a very, very special way. And we need to take a look at verse 1, for example, right? Now remember, these are called apostles, right? These 12 that were called, the names of the 12 apostles. So we need to take a note of these things, that these were apostles, right? They were not just general disciples, they were called apostles, and to these apostles were given such power. Now, this is absolutely important for us. Why were these powers given? What were the powers actually given? Well, the power that was given enabled them to, number one, if there were unclean spirits and they would possess people and they would come and confront the disciples or they were brought to them for help, they would have power or authority to cast the demons out. Let's remember, these were apostles. Number two, they were also empowered and authorized to heal all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of disease. Right now, this would be a very, very special thing that we need to take note of. So there was special authority given to cast out demons or to heal. Now, can we say this apply to us today? Frankly, no. The context will forbid us to apply this to ourselves. First, they were called disciples. Then they were called apostles. Then they were specifically named. All of these features are important because they will tell us that this is really more a restrictive commission rather than a general commission. The general commission, for example, may be compared with Matthew 28, which we will read in time to come, right? And this is important for us. In Matthew 18 to 20, the general commission would be to go out, to preach, to teach, but there is no reference to the idea of power to cast out demons or power to go and heal all kinds of sickness and diseases. There is your obvious comparison and contrast. Why were these powers given? It is essentially to authenticate them as apostles of the Lord. If people were to come to them, how would they identify them? How would they know who they are? On whose authority do they come? Certainly not from the Sanhedrin Council, certainly not from the synagogues. Then on what basis would they preach, they teach? Well, that power that they have would be from none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And to give them authentication with such authority, then we certainly will be able to understand that people will recognize that the authority is not in them, but the authority came from the person who commissioned them, the person who commanded them. And they are going to go out as laborers in the harvest field, helping the sheep that were scattered and they needed to be brought back to the fold of God. Now, the disciples were specifically instructed along these lines. First, in verse 5, the Lord said, "Do not go the way of Gentiles." Right? Now, what is this meaning? Why was this ministry to the Gentiles forbidden? Remember, the context tells us that these apostles at this point of time were restricted in their ministry, right? They were not ready to go beyond a certain level. There were many lessons they had not been taught yet. They had not learned, they had not mastered. Were they ready for Gentiles? The answer is not ready. So since they are not ready, nevertheless, the Lord had to be very clear, very specific to restrict them from attempting to go to the Gentiles in any way. That's something that we want to consider. Neither are they to go into the city of the Samaritans. In the Gospel of John, chapter 4, the Lord Jesus spoke to a Samaritan woman. The disciples were puzzled when they saw the Lord Jesus speaking, firstly, to a woman, secondly, to a Samaritan woman. They were not ready for the Samaritans' ministry. Why? Because at that point of time, they still had not overcome the huge social divide between Jews and Samaritans. If they were to go there, and if the Samaritans and become provocative, become hostile, there is no telling what could happen. And so this ministry was essentially a very restrictive ministry. They were to go to, as we are told, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The lost sheep of the house of Israel is very, very much what the Lord saw in Matthew chapter 9, right? And this is important in verse 36, moved with compassion because they were scattered like sheep having no shepherd. The Lord Jesus was referring to the people he saw there and then. These were the Jews. These were from Israel. And they were like sheep that had been scattered. There were no shepherds. The shepherds should have been the Pharisees, should have been the scribes, should have been the Sanhedrin council, but they were paying them very little attention. And so the Lord Jesus Christ had to authenticate them, give them power, or they would never receive any authority from the Sanhedrin council because they would simply be not qualified enough to step out there to go and teach or to preach in any way. What kind of ministry could they have? Well, to Israel, is that big? Huge is the word. They were lost sheep. Was that difficult? You can imagine. They are not easy together. They are scattered all over the place, and it is going to be the work of laborers. It's going to be very, very hard work. The ministry that the Lord Jesus was sending them to was not an easy ministry, even though it may not involve Gentiles and Samaritans. One, the disciples were literally not very experienced. They were not yet very skilled. They were certainly not filled with the Spirit of God at this point of time. So what would be the point of all of these things here? One, they need some kind of experience. They need to go out there to learn what it means to serve the Lord, to face the problems and the challenges that they will face as they enter into ministry. What were they asked to do? They were authorized to do this, to heal and to cast out demons. But it does not mean that this is going to be their focus. Their focus would be to preach. And this is important. They must do what the Lord Jesus Christ did when he began to preach this word, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And this is something that needed to be done. They need to become more familiar with the gospel. They need to be able to talk about the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God must become more and more real and precious to them. This is what we call evangelism. This is about preaching the kingdom of heaven. To many, many people, heaven was not very real. It's only real just before you die. And that is not the kind of ministry the Lord Jesus Christ had or believed in. He believed that people should be taught faith, to be born again, so that they can enter into the kingdom of heaven. There were vast thousands and thousands of people who had not heard the gospel, who were not believers, who were not born again. The disciples were challenged to have their hearts open, their eyes open to see the harvest field. That it is white already to the harvest. It is a very rich field of harvest to be entered into, and they are to certainly do their very best to reach out. Can they have the confidence to do this? Yes, because of the authority, because of what the Lord Jesus promised them. They can cast out demons. They can heal all manner of diseases and sicknesses. If they can do this, and they have also the gospel of the kingdom to preach, then they have every reason to be confident and to be certain that they would not have a ministry that would be in vain. But the only way to do ministry is to actually enter into ministry. And then as you enter into the ministry, you overcome whatever self-consciousness there may be, and you overcome whatever lack of experience there may be, and then enter into ministry and find the joy that the Lord had in His own life at ministry. May our hearts be challenged to consider this ministry, even though it may not be an apostolic one. There are many, many things that would gladden our hearts as we serve the Lord. The joy of seeing someone come to faith. The joy of seeing someone being born again. The joy of encouraging people, of bringing a word of hope and comfort to people who feel lost in their lives. May the Lord move our hearts to desire to serve Him with all our hearts. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for the joy and the challenge to serve You. Though we may not have an apostolic ministry, though we may not have the power to cast out demons and to heal and so on and so forth, help us to understand that we have nevertheless a wonderful ministry of preaching the gospel, of helping people come to faith in the Lord Jesus. Help us to do our part faithfully in serving You with all our hearts. We give thanks that we can serve You at all. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.